Question. Who is the most terrifying villain from a movie?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
Venom.
It.
Voldemort.
Who? What was it? What was that?
Scrooge.
Oh, yeah.
Lex Luthor.
Jason.
The Grinch.
What about in the back? What do you think?
Someone's going to have to relay it up.
What did they say?
The Joker.
Yeah, I have to say, when I saw the recent Batman movies with Heath Ledger as the Joker, like his greasy insanity kind of stayed with me for days. As a kid, I was always terrified, and I'm a little ashamed to admit this, of the big bad wolf from the Three Little Pigs. I had nightmares about this. It was even cartoon in my nightmares. My sister was always terrified of the crooked green face of the Wicked Witch of the West, right? The, I'll get you, my pretty. And because my sister loved dogs, the idea that the dog would also be a target of her wrath was a big one. One of the other villains that has stayed with me my entire life is Cruella de Vil. I mean, like, she loved killing puppies way too much, right? Like, I despised Cruella de Vil so much that I really can't watch a Glenn Close movie without, like, instantly hating her character. I'm just like, I can't do it. You're lovable. I can't do it. It's just, like, in me. But how do you know who the bad guys are in a movie? Right, the music helps, right? But I think the main thing that helps you tell who the bad guys are in a movie, who the villains are, is that they are absent joy. Like, they may be happy, they may be taking pleasure in what they're doing, but they aren't joyful. Joy is something else. It's beyond happiness. It's beyond pleasure. C.S. Lewis, the writer, says, it jumps under one's ribs and tickles down one's back and makes one forget meals and keeps one delightfully sleepless. It shocks one awake. 1 second of joy is worth 12 hours of pleasure. Now, the question for us, though, is why, despite not being evil villains, at least most of us, see you, why do we act like the bad guys in movies? Putting joy off to another day, another time. When joy starts to creep up in us, we have this feeling of, but when's the other shoe gonna drop? What's the dark side of this joy? Why do we feel like we must justify joy? Feel like we have to deserve it? Like we have to ration it? I think it's because we don't trust it. We don't trust that it'll be around again. We don't trust that we're worth it. We don't trust that we should feel joy in times that can feel so full of despair. Krista Tippett, the host of On Being, has this to say about joy. I've been in rooms full of well-meaning good people who are doing good work in the world for whom the idea that you should have joy, any joy, in a moment like this would be a betrayal of what is right and just and good. It would perhaps be a denial or even a diminishment of the people who are in pain right now. There's a sensitivity behind that stance that says joy is a privilege. Freedom can be a privilege. Luxury and comfort can be a privilege. But joy is a basic piece of human resilience. It is a human birthright. And in fact, one of the paradoxical and amazing things about our species is how people are able to get through the worst with their joy muscles intact. Right? We want to call the world not just to justice, but to joy and to flourishing, of which joy is a central part. It's a both and, justice and joy. She continues, it's absolutely to bring clear eyes to what in the world must be better, and to be present to the world and its frailty and its suffering, but it is to see that and to wake up every morning and say, yes, yes, that is true. I am present. I see it. I care. But in moments, seconds, hours, or that period of time that seems to defy the movements of a clock, when we stumble into that feeling of joy, that is a part of this world too. And we can't put it off for another day.